Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckinize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show. Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckinize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're here live. It's 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Friday, June 10th, 2022. Hope everybody's having a great night. It's Friday, so what's your 20? Where are you going? And what do you got going on this weekend? If you're a truck driver, normally you're working, right? That's the way it goes. You pick up a load on Friday. Hopefully it's at least 12 to 1,500 miles. Knock out a little bit on Friday afternoon. And then you got enough to truck. You get down to like maybe 1,200, 1,000 miles, and you can knock the rest of it out on Saturday and Sunday. Take it easy. Maybe only have to drive 400 or 500 miles each day. And get bed down early on Sunday and relax. Maybe do some laundry. That's what my goal has always been. So ain't no telling what's going on there. If you got anything going on, if you head to the house, man, good luck, because that's what you need. You need some good home time. We're talking about everything going on. This is all trucking. All things trucking and then some. We appreciate everybody doing. You can call in 515-602-9731. 515-602-9731 is your opportunity to call in. This is like a radio show. So we're here for the next hour and just kicking back. And this is what we do. Every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern time, you can get on here. We try to be on YouTube Live like we are right now, or sometimes Facebook Live, depending on who's running the show or anything like that. And but we're on blogtalkradio.com, and that's where we use the radio show to call in, and that's 515-602-9731. Appreciate everybody doing that. A couple of things we've been talking about is there's some new regulations being proposed. Speed limiters are coming, drivers, so be ready for that. There is still a comment period going on. It's open. I mean, let's see. Let me refresh this on here. It says that you can go to regulations.gov, and you can actually comment on the proposed rule. Go to regulations.gov and you can search speed limiting devices 2022 and it'll be on there for you. In fact, what I'll do is copy and then I'm going to paste it right here on our YouTube channel. Boom, there you go. And so if you got anything to check out, let that sink in there. A couple other things we're going to talk about. I looked up trucking news. You know what the top story is right now? Top story is trucking company Saia will no longer transport guns and firearms. That's one of the stories that I've been looking at, and I think I might dive into that a little bit here this evening. And we're just talking about getting out there with Redneck and Eyes and find out what we're doing. And what we're doing is I'm getting ready to go to Houston for the Texas Trucking Show, and that's going to be in Houston, Texas, June 25th and June 26th. In fact, I got it right there. Let me go ahead and I'll snap it. And it is texastruckingshow.com. In fact, I'll copy that over, and I'll put it down here in our comments, too. This is all – you know what? I'm learning all kinds of new things with YouTube on how to help people get contact with the information and everything. And yeah, here, if you want to call in and talk, 515-602-9731. And we can also you can comment on here. In fact, Cletus, he just commented on there. It says, all that it is to try to control how much we can make. And speed limiters, I mean – they say it's about safety, but we know what it's all about. And we know the big companies that run governed trucks, well, they don't like it that all these other trucks can run faster than them, because there is some freight, not all freight, but there is some freight that is time sensitive where you got to go. And they just want to be able to control it. I think a lot of things too, Cletus, I think what it is, it's coming down to the insurance companies. Companies, man, they are taking control. That's why we see a lot of these lawyers going after the big truck drivers. You know, they'll sue the truck. If you were involved in an accident, you call us now and, you know, we'll sue those trucking companies. I mean, that's basically what it's come down to, is is just the insurance companies have just forced the government to enact, because anything can happen, and those insurance companies just, they don't want to pay up. And so when something bad happens, the insurance company can actually say, hey, you know what? No, everything is in control. You can't blame the driver. We can't pay the driver for them messing up, because everything is in control. Just like the lane departure warnings and all that stuff. You know, they want all that so that they can actually not have to pay through the people that get involved in accidents. And we know as truck drivers, if a truck driver went out there and did something really bad, they should be held accountable. But a lot of times these accidents are caused by the four-wheelers. That's who they're caused by. And a lot of times people sue trucking companies when they cause the accident. So we have to watch out for that. But, yeah, I agree with you, though. It is kind of the big companies are just wanting to control the freight, and they can control the freight. So, it's there. I mean, there's so many of them. I live down in South Texas, and a lot of them, they're based out of Houston or San Antonio, but they do commercials here in Corpus where I live. So, yeah, I agree with that. So one of the great sponsors I'd like to thank today is Trucker Tools, the app for truckers. You go download the Trucker Tools app. I know everything's great. With a lot of times where you can get on there and track freight and book freight, they got that on there too. But you can also plan your route, and you can also find fuel stops. You can also even find parking spots, or even the Walmart stores. They got a special little Walmart button that you hit it, and it'll tell you where all the Walmart's at in your vicinity. So that's always a great thing. So go check those guys out. Let's see here. Get things going in here and everything like that. But, yeah, so just check those things out like that. We're going to just rocking and rolling here. We kind of just play the music in between and while we talk. And I hope everybody's having a good night out there. Like I said, go check out Trucker Tools, the app for truckers. Appreciate all their support. Check us out, redneckandeyes.com. Appreciate everybody doing that for us. And when we come back, we'll talk about what happened to Saya here and what they're doing. So let's check them out. We'll see you in a bit. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio.
Do they call somebody, got away, somebody didn't get too far, yeah, they didn't get too far.
Grandpappy told my pappy back in my days long, a man has an answer for the wicked that he does. Take all the rope in Texas, find a tall old tree, round up all of them bad boys, hang them high in the street. For all the people to see.
That's just this one thing you should always find. You gotta saddle up your balls, you gotta draw a hard line.
When the gun smoke settles, we'll sing a victory tune, and we'll all meet back at the local saloon.
We'll raise up our glasses again, evil forces singing. Whiskey for my men, beer for my horses.
We got too many gangsters doing dirty deeds.
Too much corruption and crime in the streets.
It's time the long arm of the law put a few more in the ground.
Send them all to their maker and he'll set them down.
You can bet he'll set them down.
Cause justice is one thing you could always find. You gotta saddle up your boys, you gotta draw a hard line.
When the gun smoke settles, we'll sing a victory tune, and we'll all meet back at the local saloon.
And we'll raise up our glasses against evil forces, man. Whiskey for my men, beer for my horses. Whiskey for my men.
This week's episode is sponsored by LTR Transportation. Come be part of a great carrier celebrating a new year with new trucks and new growth. Check them out at ltrtransportation.com or give them a call at 720-277-0030. Thank you, LTR, for being supporter of Redneck and Eyes. Redneck and Eyes, common sense solutions for an uncommon world.
Later on at the truck pull.
What's going on, everybody? Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're here live at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can check us out at redneckandeyes.com or give us a call, 515-602-9731. We're on blogtalkradio.com. If you go check them out, you can see our channel over there where we've got all of our old episodes recorded on there, and you can check them out. We're also on YouTube. Go subscribe to YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that for us. And we try to broadcast live on YouTube whenever we do a radio show so that everybody can see the comments. And what I just learned here is now I'm going to start posting the comments where if I find a story I want to talk about and I got a link to the story, I can click it on here and you guys check it out. So appreciate everybody doing that. One of the stories I wanted to talk about that I just saw here recently is the trucking giant SIA says it will no longer transport firearms that are fully or partly assembled. And this was posted, what, about 3 days ago? And let's see here if they've got... Actually, it's on theinsider.com, and it says here, I think that photograph is just Associated Press photograph. The photograph, I don't even think that's SIA. That's some truck lot for Mack Trucks, and I don't think that's a SIA picture at all. But it says, trucking heavyweight SIA will no longer transport firearms. Freight Waves reported Monday. Last week, the Georgia-based logistics and shipping company has publicly updated its rules so that it would not move around firearms that are put together already or close to being so, the outlet reported. I think most of the time, maybe you get to do more research into it, but I think UPS does most of the, like when a gun store gets most of its in, like they'll get a delivery. And it might be a private delivery, I'm not real sure, but I think it's UPS. And, of course, all the boxes, all the gun boxes are all locked up individually. And but I think it's UPS that does all that. I'm not real sure. I'd check on it. I was just actually inquiring who does, you know, and everything. And I know that a lot of these LTL companies you would think would be a lot of those hauling firearms. They don't. So they do a lot of rules around that. So SIA is saying it's probably not that serious of a change, because what I'm noticing in my research is that there's a lot of other carriers that don't. So, but it says here, let's say, it says the firearms put together are so the outlet reported. It says SIA's latest rules tariff, which describes prices and other policies, is dated Monday as its list of banned and restricted items, firearms to include handguns, rifles assembled and unassembled. SIA is an LTL carrier, we know that. It says, which means it transports goods for customers of shipments that don't take up the entire truck. That's for people, I guess, the non-truckers out there. Freightways noted that the LTL carriers were already not particularly keen on shipping guns before gun violence came to national prominence again recently because of their potential to be stolen and the problematic image in general. Because I would feel safe to say that most LTL companies today should shy away from the commodity due to the risk, Rex Oliver, director of operations at Atlantic Logistics, told Freightways in an email. The company will still move individual parts of guns and ammunition, Freightwaves added. Okay, well, there you go. See, so ammunition, I mean, come on now. You know, that's the one thing, man. Ammunition, you can find a place down here that's got, to me, ammunition, as soon as the guy gets it, they're out of it, because that's the hot commodity right now. In fact, I don't even think that you can, if you go to a Dick's Sporting Goods that used to sell a lot of ammunition and Academy Sports and Outdoor, they don't have any ammunition. They're all out. Everybody's out. Gun violence has become more visible as many of the U.S. lately after the races at Buffalo, New York, and Uvalde, Texas. We know all this. It says there have been 246 mass shootings so far in 2022 as of Sunday, Insider reported. Now, everybody, I want you to make note, everybody that follows this knows and understands. And some people that don't follow it and understand it, you know, like, how many mass shootings? That's crazy. Okay, there's a statistic. It's four or more, not counting the shooter. Okay? And that's how they count it as a mass shooting. Now, you go to some websites. Now, I don't know if 246 is accurate or not. Sometimes they need to put who they got that from. Because if you go to some gun control advocate websites, they'll raise the number. What they'll do is they'll say, like two or more, and they'll say anybody that got two or more dead or whatever, and it's higher. Now, if it's 246, I mean, that could be right. I don't know. But, I mean, we're talking about people shooting each other in Chicago, L.A., New York, You know, when you, like you said, four or more, not including the shooter, that's labeled as a mass shooting, according to the FBI. So, it says few corporations have responded publicly. ABC News reported Tuesday, besides the CEO of Amazon and Goldman Sachs, ABC News reached out to 20 Fortune 500 and did not get a response from the majority of the two. Microsoft, Walgreens, Boots Alliance declined to comment. Yeah, I mean, they don't want to do that because you got to stay out of it. If you're trying to be political, then you're going to lose business, bottom line. And if you stay quiet, then chances are the other people are not going to do anything about it either. Nobody cares. But as soon as you step into it, then you've already pissed off half the country. So you just got to stay quiet. CEOs see the risk of taking the position as exceeding the return, James O'Rourke, the Notre Dame professor, told ABC News. It says Axon Enterprises, which makes up the law enforcement tools like tasers, any exception, Akon said the company should try to drones with stun guns to combat mass shootings, but it caused internal strife. Members of its ethics board quit. The ACLU also condemned the idea, and the company said it dropped the idea this week. The company should try to drones with stun guns. Taser company nixes idea using drones as flying stun guns to respond to mass shootings. Controversy caused some ethics board members to quit. See, and that's the thing. Anybody comes up with any kind of idea, and if somebody doesn't like it, and they quit. But I don't know, stun gun on a drone. Why is that bad? I don't understand. I mean, I don't know. Why is that bad? Tell me. Somebody that's smarter than me needs to tell me if that's bad or not. I don't get it. The trustee of the New York State Common Retirement Fund, which has money invested in the Meta and Twitter, said it would vote against the confirming both companies' boards. The protests he cited, the content, the shooting, the Buffalo, da da da. They're just going on and on. See, I mean, Saya won't haul firearms anymore, and they don't want to talk about it. They just announced it, and then, you know, it's kind of like, man, come on, you know? But what I found out, doing a little research, I found out that there's not a lot of LTL carriers that haul firearms. And then according to SIA, they're still going to transport the parts, and they're still going to transport ammunition. So, you know, what I see is them refusing to do is fully assembled firearms, which we see all the time, right? Or the receivers that actually is the guts of the firearm. You know, they'll probably ship barrels, they'll probably ship stocks, they'll probably ship triggers and trigger locks and supplies like that stuff. But the actual, you know, if you have a rifle, anybody that has any kind of semi-automatic rifle knows that the receiver, the middle, you know, and all you non-gun people, the middle part, right? That's the main thing. That's what has to be registered. That's what is restricted for an FFL. That you, in order for you to buy that part, you can buy a barrel without doing a background check. You can buy a stock without doing a background check. You cannot buy the receiver without doing a background check. Now, you can buy the parts for the receiver that go inside it, but the actual body of it, you can't buy without a background check. So, and there are people out there that make that stuff. So, you know, that's why firearms haven't been completely outlawed, because they know they can't control it. That people can still build their own. People build their own. And you're talking about 3D printers? No, I'm not talking about 3D printers. I'm talking about they actually have machine shops. They can take a block of metal and cut it into a receiver. People can do that at their home. Okay? So don't tell me they can't. I've seen it. So, and everybody out there listening to me right now, they know I'm right. So give us a call, 515-602-9731. We're talking about things going on. Don't forget to go to regulations.gov. I got the comment posted on the YouTube video right now. Regulations.gov comment on the speed limiting devices. Right now there's 14,550 comments, roughly, and it's still available. I mean, it said it shut down. Everything had to be done by June 3rd. It's still open, and you can still comment. So I don't know why that's so bad or whatever. So, you know, and then, of course, we're winding down to the Texas Trucking Show that's going to happen June 25th, June 26th in Houston, Texas, at the NRG Center over there by the Reliant Stadium. So go check that out. I'll be there. I'm already set to go there. I'm going to hang out and shoot some video and maybe hopefully talk to some people. And the one cool thing about these shows that are like downtown cities, like going to the Dallas Truck Show, it wasn't good for trucking. Like if you were a trucker and you wanted to park in the parking lot and have a party like going to Louisville, it's totally different in Dallas because it's hot, so nobody wants to be outside. You go into this tent, it's still hot unless there's a breeze. But other than that, it's the nightlife. It's being downtown. It's going, you know, to a restaurant or to a bar and seeing a band. That's fun. And so if you were going to be at like the Dallas Truck Show or the Houston Truck Show, I mean, really the thing is to budget and actually park the truck maybe at a yard or, I mean, you could park at the parking lot. In fact, we found out if you click on the contact us down below, there's a map and it says truck parking and all it says on there, it doesn't say per day or whatever, but it says parking lot two is truck parking, $30 for bobtail, $60 for truck and trailer. It doesn't say per day. So, I mean, I don't know if that's for the whole weekend. You get there on Friday night. I don't know. There is no way to get the rules on that. I might have to give them a call next week and find out more about that. But it's at 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Saturday and Sunday, both at the NRG Center there in Houston. My whole thing is like park the truck somewhere. Even if you, like maybe you work for a carrier that has a yard there in Houston and you can park the truck and then get an Uber or rent a car and come downtown where the show is, get you a hotel right there by the show and just be downtown. That's fun. You know, especially if you like that. If you don't like that kind of thing, you know, then I don't know what to tell you. But, you know, maybe you want to go to the other truck show, which is the Truckers for Hope truck show. It's at truckersforhope.com. Can I go to and maybe I can hit, I'm trying to hit like the home button. There it is. Because then I can take it and I'll copy the link and I'll post it down here in the comments too. And it's the Truckers for Hope truck show. That's going to be September 23rd to the 25th. Now, 23rd is a Friday, but they say there's stuff going on Thursday too. So, and that's in Mill Hall, Pennsylvania at the Clinton County Fairgrounds. It's a huge open area down there close to Harrisburg, I think. I'm not real sure, but we're going to be there too. We've already talked to the people about helping them sponsor the event and everything. So we're going to be there and they're a great bunch of people. And that is kind of an outdoor event. There's going to be plenty to do outside, concerts, and just the truck show itself is going to be all outside. They're going to have golf carts and a little train, like a kid train to ride around in and all that. So that's going to be one of the biggest things out there is that's going to be in September up in Pennsylvania. Now that's if you like the country and you want to do stuff about the country, that's where to be. Now, if you like downtown big city Houston, then you come to the Texas Trucking Show and that's going to be June 25th through the 26th. So a lot of different things to do. You know, we even got the Iowa 80 truck show coming up, and that's going to be that week is the, what is it, Thursday the 14th of July through Saturday the 16th. Now, on Saturday, it's going to be over by 5 o'clock. Now, on Thursday and Friday, though, at the Iowa 80, if you've ever been there, they've got fireworks. Let me double-check this here before I say anything else. Yeah, so at 9 o'clock in the p.m. on Thursday and Friday, there'll be fireworks. So that's going to be awesome. On Thursday night is when they have it scheduled. They don't have it scheduled for Friday, but on Thursday night, what they do is they line up all the trucks with all the fancy lights and they turn all the lights on. Some parts of the parking lot, they actually shut the lights off. So it's completely dark and all you see are the trucks that lit up. And then the only other thing you see is the big sign that says Iowa 80. And then you see the fireworks. They actually put the fireworks like right there by the highway. The year I was there, that's where they did it. I don't know if they changed that or not. But it's like, man, if I was driving down the road, that would be scary. But that's Iowa 80. That's going to be July 14th through the 16th. And that's in Walcott, Iowa at the big, you know, world's largest truck stop. So check that out. But, you know, we're going to post all everything. We're going to do that at redneckandeyes.com. I need to get on that and update that this weekend. And we'll get all that updated for you. But the Texas Trucking Show, we got that posted on there. And, of course, we're going to be at the event for sure at the Truckers for Hope truck show. So check all that out. And let's see here. There you go. So yeah, check that all out. We're going to step away here. It's what, 6:25 in the PM on the central time. And we're here every weekday at 7 PM Eastern time, which is 6 o'clock central time. You can call in at 515-602-9731. If you're part of the conversation, just hit one or you can listen along there. We're also on YouTube live. Appreciate everybody subscribing to that. So check us out there and we'll see you on a bit. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio.
We'd like to thank one of our supporters, DPF Regeneration. The folks at DPF Regeneration have always looked out for truckers. Today's technology in big trucks has gotten more and more complicated, especially when it comes to those particulate filters. DPF filters need to be serviced, cleaned, and sometimes replaced, and DPF Regeneration handles it all. They have the knowledge, the network, and the inventory to get what truckers need to stay out on the road making money. Give them a holler at 800-634-3010 or check them out at www.webakem.com. Plain and simple, DPF Regeneration.
Everybody, hey, this is Dave with Redneck and I's Radio. We're here live. It's every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in at 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation. Just hit one. It's blogtalkradio.com is where we're at, so we appreciate everybody listening along for that. And we're also on YouTube Live. Appreciate people doing that, too. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Appreciate everybody doing that for us. It's really growing, and we got a lot of videos on there talking about life on the road, just how to deal with things. Our most watched video on there right now is just explaining the interlocking differential. That's the biggest video. Everybody loves it, and everybody really appreciate that. I remember at truck driving school, you were told anytime that a new driver was told how to drive a truck, they were always told, you know, what's the interlocking differential? Well, you don't hit that. You don't flip that switch ever unless you get stuck. And then you don't run it with the, you know, when you get unstuck, then you flip the switch back. Well, both of those are wrong. So in the whole concept of the interlocking differential is explained that it's you hit the switch before. It's like when you go into some type of off-road area where you're going to be either, you know, in gravel or sand or something like that, or even if you're going to be in an uneven area, like if you're going into a parking lot that has like a big dip in it or something like that, or if you're going to back down into the hole to unload the trailer, you know, you might have to go into like it's like a drop-off. And you always want to make sure that you have the interlocking locked so that if one of the tires comes off the ground, it doesn't start spinning. Because that's what happens is whichever tire comes off the ground, whichever tire loses traction, that's the tire that gets all the power. That's just normal how a differential operates. So by locking it, what you're doing is you're locking both the axles. Now, you're not locking both wheels on each axle. You're just locking both axles. So a lot of times what happens is a truck will be either backing off the street. Mainly it's always backing off the street. Rolling forward really doesn't do anything unless you're going uphill. But some of the videos you see sometimes, if a truck's going up a hill and then maybe if it teeters up, the back axle will come off the ground. Well, then all the power immediately goes to that back axle. The front axle does not get any power at all unless you have the interlocking differential locked, because that means that evens the distribution of power to both axles. We see it all the time. You get stuck in the sand sometimes. If you flick that switch, you get power to both axles, but you still won't get power to both wheels. So they actually have wheel locks, and those they call them axle locks, which they lock the actual axle so that the axles distribute power equally between the two wheels. Those are not all the trucks. All the trucks that have tandem axles are going to have the interlocking the inner axle differential, which is the one that stretches between the two axles. That's the big one. And it gets complicated because if you're, you know, like in our video, we got a couple of displays, a couple of animated pictures and videos, and it's pretty, it helps out. But you always want to make sure that you get it, you flick the switch before you get in that situation. So it's like when you wind it down, make the turn, and you're fixing to go into the customer and you find out it's going to be either wet or soft or, you know, not even at all, where you're going to have to back down or back up something or pull up something, then lock it in before you hit it. That way you'll keep moving. The other thing is they say, don't use it going down the highway. Well, that's not really accurate either. You can use it going down the highway. It's not going to really tear anything up. What it boils down to is that when you have it locked, you are using more parts than you normally would. So as it's going down the highway, you're actually using the metal in the gears more. So by using it more, you're just wearing it out faster. And that means that you're turning a 1,000,000-mile differential into a 700,000-mile differential. Or normally we see rear ends maybe have to be rebuilt at 750, you know, or maybe in 1.5 million. A normal wear and tear differential that never has to get it locked ever probably can go 1.5 million, 2 million, never know, right? By using it going down the highway more, what you're doing is you're just generating more heat and you're putting more wear and tear on the actual gears, and they're just wearing out faster. So you're taking 1.5 million, 2 million, and you're cutting it down to 1 million, 1.5 million, depending on what's going on. You know, it has nothing to do with you're going to blow it up. It's not going to happen. You know, I mean, something seriously has to go wrong for that to happen. You're just wearing the metal out, and it's unnecessary. If you don't have to use it, don't use it. You know, it's one of those things. So if you flick the switch and do all your stuff, and then you forget to flick it back, and you get going down the road a couple of hours, and you look down and you see, oh crap, I'm using that deal, you know, and I shouldn't be doing that. And it's like, it's no big deal. Nothing's going to happen. You're just generating more heat. Now, what that does also too is that hurts your fuel mileage. So your fuel mileage might not be as good while you have it locked. I always kept mine locked. Like if I was in a snowy area or icy area, I would keep it locked. And that would just keep the power to the wheels. If I ever did lose traction, I wouldn't lose complete traction from, you know, the wheels that actually were grabbing. So I always threw it in. I always locked it in when it was icy or snowy on the roads, you know, and you were trying to get somewhere safe or whatever. So that's one of the biggest misconceptions. The two biggest things we always get asked is when do you use it, and is it going to hurt it by running down the highway? And both of those answers we address a lot here on Redneck and I, because we get those questions a lot, but we also address some of them in the videos. So go just check that out, redneckandeyes.com, and the link to our YouTube channel. We appreciate everybody doing that. Other than that, ain't much going on. Like I said, it's Friday, so if you got anything going on, give us a holler. I wanted to thank one of our great sponsors, and that's DPF Regeneration. You can check them out at dpfregeneration.com. You can give them a call at 800-634-3010, and they're open Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., even on Saturday at 7:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Now, they're based out of Connecticut, so all those times are Eastern. Like I said, they got a website. You can go check them out. They're the ones where you can overnight your DPF filter. They'll clean it in their clean facility and then overnight it back. Now, we all know maybe you want to get your DPF filter clean, and a lot of these dealerships say they clean them, and you look at their little machine that they use to clean them, and it looks like that machine ain't been clean. That's not good. So their DPF Regeneration, pretty much you can call it a lab, because they have clean facilities. You can go check out. There's plenty of photos of what they do. But they also sell the parts. So if you're just looking for something new and you want to try to order your parts, you can order your parts through DPF Regeneration. And they've got them all. I mean, they're working on where they can get charge air coolers. They can get the different mufflers. They got the actual filters. They got EGR coolers and all the different valves you need for that. But they're also getting into like turbos and stuff like that. So you go check them out. They've got all the components. They got even the electrical stuff. Let's see. I mean, like alternators. It says batteries, alternators, electrical components, injectors. They got all that stuff on their website. So go check it out. And they even got their own equipment. Let's see. You know what? I haven't really played with their website that much. And, they don't have anything listed. But they have a thing on here. It says diesel fuel system testing equipment by top brands as Bosch, Hartridge, and OTC. And it says test equipment, but it doesn't have anything listed as for sale. So maybe that's for future. Maybe they're getting it. So, I mean, if you've got a shop, you know, something you might do. Yeah, they don't have anything. I mean, they've got stuff listed, but there's the website's still kind of growing. So, but give them a holler. Like I said, 800-634-3010. That's DPF Regeneration. And when you talk to them, tell them you appreciate them supporting Redneck and I's, because we really do appreciate them. And I was looking at what's going on in the news, and I saw on here it says trucker files request for personal exemption from hours of service rules. And I thought that was interesting. Because, you know, we're always talking about what's going on with this stuff and why are we getting exemptions and all that. He says that the rules don't fit with his sleep schedule. Oh, man. Welcome to the club, brother. Says truck driver 30 years has applied for an exemption to the hours of service rules. Says the request was filed on the morning of Wednesday, June 8th. Leland Schmidt Jr. Oh, it's Leland. Is he the same one we know? Might be. He is an owner-operator leased to D&E Transport in Clearwater, Minnesota, and has been driving for 30 years. He is requesting a 5-year exemption from the 10-year consecutive hours of duty requirement, the 14 driving window and the 30-minute break requirement, and the 60 hours in 7 days or in 7 days. He filed a request on the grounds of the mandatory 10 hours off-duty break does not fit with his natural sleep pattern of 5 to 7 hours a night. He says a 30-day comment period has since been opened for the request. Those interested in submitting comments can go through July 11th. So let's look on this. Click on that. It's regulations.gov. And it says, write a comment, exemption application, hours of service, drivers. Man, you can actually comment on that too. 31 days, and you can comment. So let's, okay, here we go. That's what I wanted to file was FMCSA announces that Leland Schmidt requests an exemption from his 5 provisions of federal service, dates. You know what? Maybe we should be sharing this one too. Let me go, and I'll copy this sucker, and I'll put it on our comments too. This might be interesting here because, in my opinion, I think all drivers should be exempt because every driver has different sleep patterns. And as long as, I mean, it's kind of like one of those things, the Fourth Amendment, you know, you can't really tell the person what they can and can't do unless they actually do something wrong. And, you know, that might be something we can get into. So let's do all that. And you can actually make a comment and go say something. So let's look into that. But it says you can do it through July 11th. And that's it. That's all they say. If you go into the regulation, let me go back here, and it says equivalent saving FM request public comment on an applicant's request for the exemption. Addresses, you may submit comments, a federal rulemaking portal, da-da-da-da. Each submission must include the agency name, the docket number, da-da-da-da, privacy. For further information, contact Mr. Richard Clemente, FMCSA driver in Carrier Operations Division, Office of Carrier Driver. And it's got all the information, all the contact that person submitting comments. And it doesn't really say leave a comment, you know. And my comment would be that all drivers should be exempt. The hours of service is like it's crude and it's outdated and it's, you know, I don't know, authoritarian. It's just, you know, you got to be able to make your own judgments of when you can work. And what these rules are doing is it's forcing the driver to, you know, I mean, okay, so I worked in an office as well as a driver. So I understand what the company is looking at when it looks at drivers and their driving ability and everything. And as a dispatcher that I told drivers, don't drive tired. Don't do what you can't do. Stay safe. It's up to you. It's not up to anybody else. Don't let anybody else tell you you have to do it. Because you got to be safe. You got to feel safe. It's you driving. If something happens to you, the company's going to be just fine. You're going to lose your job. You're going to lose your career. So don't risk it. So that being said, there are a lot of drivers who really just couldn't perform. They couldn't do the job well. They weren't productive. When you say that you've got to be able to run, you know, 2,000 to 3,000 miles a week for the truck to make money, for you to make money, you know, the company requires you to run a certain amount of miles a week for you to maintain your full-time employee status so they can pay your benefits and all that. You know, they have requirements that you have to perform. A lot of drivers couldn't do it. They couldn't perform. So eventually, the drivers got washed out because they weren't making any money. A lot of drivers, they had to be pushed a little bit. I'm not saying it's like only do it. If you can't do it, don't do it. I would always tell them that. But then they would always say, I'm not making any money. I said, okay, then, it's because you're not driving miles. And he's like, well, how can I do that? And really what it boils down to is scheduling. A lot of drivers that can't make money, it's because they're not good at scheduling, which means like when they would look at a load and the dispatchers would tell them, can you do this load or not? And the driver would say yes or no. And a lot of drivers would say, no, I can't do that load, when really they could. They just were, as far as planning, they didn't really calculate it well, which means they would lose money. So a lot of drivers came to me and said, I got a letter saying that I was going to lose my benefits. And I said, well, that's because you're not running hard enough. You're not running good miles. He said, well, how do I do that? And so I would help them with picking the loads. I said, take this load. Don't take that load. He's like, well, I don't think I can make that. And he goes, yes, you can. In fact, I was boiled down to it where the driver, I had to tell him, you're going to drive to this city and state and you're going to stop for the night. And then you're going to get up this next morning. You're going to get moving by this time and you're going to drive to the next place and you're going to stop in this city. I mean, I had to do that a lot to drivers. You know what happened? A lot of those drivers, like maybe 90% of them, all said, you know what? That's great. I'm making way more money now, and I'm really happy, and things are great, and yes, I can do it. And that's it. Very few of them, they're like, you know what? I couldn't do it. I would come in, and they wouldn't be where I expected them to be in the next morning, so I was like, well, you can't do it. So you're not gonna succeed. You need to go find another work. That dispatchers probably need to be paid more money to do that, to help the drivers be productive, but safely. It's like, don't do, if you can't, I'm not telling you to do it or you're fired and drive tired. I'm telling you that if you can do it, do it. If you can't, don't. That's what I'm saying. And that's what a little push every now and then saying, if you can do it, do it. If you can't, don't. And it's one of those things. I'm telling you to drive this many miles today. And they're like, I can do that. Yes, you can. The problem was when they were given the load, let's say it was 1500 miles. Okay. That's 3 full days. 1,500 miles, 3 full days. Some guys can do it in 2. Some guys can do it in 2.5. Okay, but a driver that's trying to be just productive, just to make ends meet, that's a 3-day run, 1,500 miles. So you tell them that's what it is. A lot of them say it would take them all week because they would be afraid of traffic or the time and all that. And I agree with them that a lot of it's stressful because you might have to drive through downtown Austin at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. You might have to do that. But if that's the way the schedule works, that's the way it works. That's how it's going to be. So I could see, I think hours of service is bad. I don't like it at all. I want drivers to be able to make their own decisions. And what I think what happened is I think the companies are saying, hey, once you come in, once you start your clock, you've got 10 hours to do that job. And if you can't do what we tell you to do in that 10 hours, then find something else. And it's like they're being forced to do that. And if some of the drivers – if you get them just a little bit of leeway, then they can knock that out. They can still do the job. They just can't do it the way you want them to. And that's what I'm getting at with that, is that if you schedule it for them and tell them this is how you should do it, as long as you do this much at this time, then we don't care how anything else goes. I mean, my job's the same way. I'm supposed to be out and back within 12 hours. That's the whole gig, is leave out. It's a shuttle run. You leave out, you make your swap, and you got to be back at a certain time because the trailer, the freight, has to be back at a certain time. Really, I can knock it out in like 9.5 hours, okay? But they give me 12, basically. Actually, it's like 11. Yeah, they give me like 11 hours, and I can do it 9. And so I'm given a little leeway. If I leave a little earlier, then I got a little more leeway. And so it's like as long as you do this at this time, you can do whatever else you want, as far as taking breaks or stopping or whatever. So that's what it is that drivers need to understand that there's certain things you can do and can't do. Don't push yourself. A lot of drivers, they get themselves in trouble because they think, well, as long as I'm back by this time, if I get started late, I'm okay. I've done it before myself where I was like, I started late and then I'm like, well, as long as I get by this time, but then something happens, next thing you know, you're late. Stuff you couldn't foresee happened. So that's where drivers get in trouble. A lot of other times they get in trouble because they say, I can't do it. I can't do that. That's the way truck drivers are. If you're out there listening to this right now and you've never been a trucker before, that's the way it happens. So what I see on my deal is that every So there's certain days where I get like a bigger window that I can do things. Like on Friday, I work Friday nights. As long as I pick the load up and go drop the load off, and then the one I'm bringing back, well, they're not going to crack it open and unload it until Monday morning. Well, if I get back on Saturday morning, that's my day. I'm done. But if maybe I'm up earlier today or did something this morning or whatever, and I didn't get good enough sleep, as long as I make my run up and drop the trailer and pick my other one up, well, that trailer I got in me right now, it ain't got to be back home until Monday morning. So if I want to like maybe take a nap or something and be back by like maybe 9 o'clock instead of 7 o'clock in the morning, nobody cares because there's nobody there. So it's kind of like you have a little leeway. Every now and then you have a little leeway. And that's what I'd just like to explain to people that, you know, when you get that leeway, sometimes you have to take it. Just like on the weekends we're talking about right now, you get a 1,000-mile load or you get a 1,200-mile load and you can knock a lot of it out on Friday and Saturday. And then maybe you only got maybe a little bit left on Sunday and you can do laundry or whatever, take a break. Or you get done early. Like I always try to get done early during football season. I'd like to be able to get everything knocked out. And maybe I had to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning on Sunday, do a little 5-hour drive, get stopped. And that way I'd be parked and be able to watch football games that day. You know, that was a fun Sunday for me. So one of those things, you just got to be able to do it. And I think the hours of service really cuts into that. It really does. So I don't like it at all. I'm going to comment on this deal. I just posted it at the very bottom here. Let's see. Can I edit that? No. but that's the one there. You can go comment on Schmidt's hours of service exemption request. And I'm looking forward to doing that. That might be pretty interesting. You know what? I'm going to post this. There's the one. No, wait a minute. Let me get the right article. Is that the one I'm pulling up? Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to post the article to our Facebook page. I'll do Twitter, too. Go comment on this driver's rule exemption request. How about that? Boom. There you go. It's on Facebook, too. Go check it out at redneckandeyes.com. You can find the links to our Facebook page. You know what? Did I do that wrong? I think I did that wrong. Yeah, I did do it right. Let me go back in. Nah, come here. I posted it actually to my personal page, but that's all right. I'm going to get everything, all the stuff. And come on, Facebook, come on, deal. But yeah, so there you go. So I'm going on here and resharing it. There you go. Now it's on our Facebook page. And I'm going to put it on our Twitter, too. That's pretty awesome.
Through the middle of the night unknown.
Come on now, where are we at? Where are we at? I thought it was right here, but I guess not. I tell you what, I really, Facebook sometimes ticks me off. But let me go back on here, and I'm going to share it again to Twitter. And you can go check out our Twitter. Twitter is Redneck and Eyes, what is it, Redneck and Eyes 2012? There you go. We'll get that out there, too, on Twitter. Yeah, Redneckinize12 is Twitter. But like I said, you can find links to all those on our website, redneckinize.com. So appreciate everybody going on checking on that. But that's pretty interesting. And that got posted just yesterday. So on cdllife.com. So we'll definitely pay attention to that. And that's another comment deal that's going to be for the next month. It's good until July 11th is what they said. Yep, July 11th is when it's good for. And it could be longer than that. You never know. But that's interesting. Let's go check that out. Let's go. Let's follow that. But other than that, we're coming down to the wire here. And I appreciate everybody watching and joining along and YouTube and everything. Go check out our sponsors, DPF Regeneration, dpfregeneration.com, Trucker Tools at truckertools.com. And then last but not least, one of our favorites, and that's Load to Ride Transportation, ltrtransportation.com. That's a great little outfit out of Denver, Colorado. They're over there staying busy and compliant, so that's always a good thing. You can give them a call at 720-277-0030. Go check them out at ltrtransportation.com. We appreciate all their support for Nick and I's. So until next time, like I said, we're here every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 515-602-9731. Give us a holler, and we'll see y'all next time. Until then, y'all stay safe, stay successful, and we'll see y'all down the road.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and I's was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandeyes.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a Redneck and I's.